Renewal of American Federalism by Michael C. Maybach. The Roots of Our Debt and Dysfunction Today. President Franklin Roosevelt, fortunately for the stability of our nation, it was already apparent that the vastness of the territory presented geographical and climatic differences, which gave to these states wide differences in the nature of their industry, their agriculture, and their commerce. Thus, it was clear to the framers of our Constitution that the greatest possible liberty of self-government must be given to each state, and that any national administration attempting to make all laws for the whole nation, such as was wholly practical in Great Britain, would inevitably result at some future time in a dissolution of the Union itself. The preservation of this home rule by the states is not a cry of jealous commonwealths seeking aggrandizement at the expense of sister states. It is a fundamental necessity if we are to remain a united country. After winning a war against the world's greatest power, our founders wrote, "What is today the world's oldest, and many consider its best, constitution? Yet 70% of Americans now say we are on the wrong track because Washington has become highly dysfunctional. The list of federal failures is now painfully familiar. Wall Street bailouts, failed stimulus, fast and furious cash for clunkers, corruption in the IRS, FBI, and Justice Department, perhaps 20 million illegal immigrants, crisis at the border, the impending collapse of Social Security, Medicare and the Affordable Care Act, congressional gridlock, and $22 trillion in debt." To Americans, these are clear signals of systemic failure in the federal government. We owe it to our nation to examine how we fell off the wise course our founders charted for us in 1789, and what we might do to improve self-governance. A clue to our failure is found in our nation's name, the United States of America. We are a nation of 50 states. Not one central government is found in France or Egypt. The more we've centralized taxation, regulation, and power in Washington, the more we have witnessed systemic failure. This is because most problems are best addressed by local and state government, as Jefferson told us. The ideas of federalism and subsidiarity need to become fashionable again. Federalism and the decentralization of factions, interest groups, were at the heart of the Founders' Plan, Federalist No. 10 and No. 51, Madison. Governmental duties were best divided between federal, national, and state governments. The Founders also believed government should be limited, supporting life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, without managing its every aspect. They assumed, as self-reliant citizens of strong character and durable families would do much of society's heavy lifting through businesses and voluntary civic organizations serving others. During the ratification debates of 1787 through 1788, James Madison wrote in Federalist No. 45 of American Federalism, "The powers delegated to the federal national government are few and defined. Those which remain in the state governments are numerous and indefinite. The former will be exercised principally on external objects such as war, peace, negotiation, and foreign commerce. The powers reserved to these several states will extend to all the objects which, in the ordinary course of affairs, concern the lives, liberties, and properties of the people, and the internal order, improvement, and prosperity of the state." The government in Washington was to look outward at other nations and markets and keep harmony among the states. The 50 states were to look inward towards internal improvements in citizen services. Here are the major issues our president and Congress face as their outward agenda today. National security, Russia, North Korea, China, cyber attacks, Iran and the Middle East, international trade, China, steel and aluminum tariffs, Brexit, EU trade, North America trade, a new NAFTA, border security and illegal immigration, U.S. immigration, DACA and 20-plus million illegal immigrants, failing federal policy, Mexico, illegal gun and drug running, plus sex trafficking, cartel violence. Latin America, Marxist regimes in Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Cuba, MS-13 gangs, EU, U.S.-EU trade, Euro crisis, EU internal strife, future of NATO, North Korea, missile tests and nuclear weapons, Russia, possible new Cold War, Israel, failed Palestinian peace talks, new U.S. embassy in Jerusalem, Africa, Libya, Sudan, failed states, civil war, Syria, a seven-year civil war, Islamic State, ISIS, terrorism across many continents, Egypt and Turkey, uncertain allies, Iran, U.S.-Iran tensions, threat of a new nuclear power, Iraq, another failed state, Pakistan, strained relationship with India and the U.S., Afghanistan, 18 years of war, no end in sight, India, the promise of our improved relationship. The founders and we might ask how our current leaders in Washington can effectively and prudently deal with this formidable array of external challenges. But now let's look at Washington's inward agenda today. Social Security funding begins to fail in 2030. Medicare begins to fail in 2024. Dodd-Frank Financial Services Regulations, 20,000 pages. Affordable Care Act, U.S. healthcare scheme now failing, 20,000 pages, 18% of GDP. Justice and FBI, major charges of corruption. IRS administers U.S. tax code of 76,000 pages, 2012 through 2014. NGO scandal. Farm bill, huge farm subsidies. Food stamps for 30-plus million Americans. Education, U.S. Education Department requires all K-12 schools to complete 30-plus reports annually. College loans, U.S. government makes all college loans. Student debt, $1.5 trillion credit card debt. Housing, U.S. Housing and Urban Development Department, $40 billion annual budget. Minimum wage, also dealt with at the state level, closer to regional economic realities. Unemployment insurance, partially managed at the state level. Transportation, highways, bridges, ports, rail, urban transit, all in need of major repairs. Our founders would be astonished at the domestic focus of our $4 trillion federal budget today. Outward, 42% of federal budget, inward, 58% of federal budget, 20% defense, 22% Social Security, 15% federal agencies, 23% Medicare plus Medicaid, 7% interest on a $22 trillion national debt, 13% grants to the states. The argument here is a managerial argument for a return to federalism. Washington has too much on its plate to do any of its work well. Moreover, Congress does not have the time or staff to effectively oversee this colossus of a government. Indeed, Congress has only passed one annual federal budget, regular order, in 20 years. The founders would not see the wisdom in a federal Department of Housing or of Education that deals with K-12. Housing and K-12 schools are best left to the states. Much of the work now done by Washington can be better managed by our 50 states and or local governments, or not done at all. Outsourcing of other federal work would allow the injection of competitive bidding, merit pay, and innovation in technology and service delivery. Today, virtually no one can fire a federal employee, even if they fail to show up for work. Federal jobs have become lifetime sinecures, while average taxpaying Americans have less job security than in the past. Absent a major move away from the federal income tax system, such as a national sales tax, a financing formula to return to American federalism might roughly break this way. The IRS would leave a certain percentage of the federal income taxes it collects within the states where collected. The percentage would be decided by the kinds of federal services that would be largely transferred to the states. Those states that have a healthy business climate would see their share of IRS funds grow, rewarding their positive policies for growth and job creation. Federal funds left in each state would be allocated by the 50 state legislatures, which would move much of this funding to counties and cities for such things as K-12 education, housing, food stamps, intrastate transportation infrastructure, and other inward-looking human services, healthcare engagement, would remain for now in federal hands. So deep is it embedded in our lives via Medicare, Medicaid, CHIPS, the VA, et al. While initial transfers back to the states would be modest, e.g., most all HUD services and programs, mindsets among citizens, the news media, and elected officials would gradually shift to more robust distributed government, to coin a term we used as the mainframe computer world gave way to the PC and then a mobile handheld devices. Ironically, while the power of information technology has become more and more decentralized and empowering, Washington, D.C. has centralized more and more of our government. We want to reverse this trend and reflect what is happening in the age of information. There is also a societal or political argument for a return to American federalism. Before Roe v. Wade, in 1973, states had 50 different abortion laws, and in turn, before that 1973 decision, the entire career of a Supreme Court nominee was reviewed by the U.S. Senate as to their suitability for this lifetime judicial office. Since Roe in 1973, our nation's politics have become sharply and continuously divided on the question of life. Given this, the central question asked about all new Supreme Court nominees is their view on abortion. Supreme Court Justice Ginsburg has suggested that our republic might be better.